Just had to hold long enough. Story of life. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 today. Really excited to be here this day and be able to share the good news and the continuing good news that comes with Scripture. It comes with following Scripture through belief. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I think we better pray about this one. Holy and righteous Father in heaven, we are grateful for the Scripture. We're grateful for the tremendous work that you did to generate the history in the first place, to make sure it was recorded, the prophecies, the types, the foreshadows, the record of Jesus Christ, the epistles, you know, the book of Acts, Revelation. We're just appreciative of that you generated that. We're also appreciative that you preserved it. We appreciate that you made it possible to be translated and distributed, and that we are able to have these copies in our hands. And we just cannot express our gratitude for this and the things done in the spiritual realm through Jesus Christ, of which we are the tremendous beneficiary. So we praise you for that. Just bless this particular message, and pray, Father, that it can be relevant to our time. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the word work, that can be a bad work. I mean, say work to some people, their shoulders are already hunched over. You know, I mean, you've seen it, right? And so work, you mean work as a Christian? It was really pretty well brought out earlier, I think yesterday, that, you know, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And it's interesting to me, you know, so many of the parables, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is pictured as either a wheat field or a vineyard. Now, you know, something I know about wheat fields and vineyards, I don't know much about vineyards. You know, can't grow grapes in our part of Montana. Can't do it. Too high, too dry, you know, too windy, you know, too cold, you know, too whatever. You can't grow grapes. So I've actually never seen a grapevine close up. Never have. So I'd be interested to do that sometime, but know a little bit more about wheat fields. Now, if we get to hay fields, I could really talk about that. But, you know, the thing is about wheat fields or vineyards, there's always work going on, especially when it's all done by hand. You know, Katie and I were having a Bible study outside of Great Falls here a couple years ago, and it was late July, which is about the time that the spring wheat gets harvested, you know, the winter wheat a little bit later. And custom cutters came in with big 60-foot headers. You know, coming in a couple thousand acres, you know, six of those things going through, 60-foot headers. That, you think of lining guys up at the end of a wheat field with hand size and trying to do 2,000 acres? That's how they used to have to do it. And, you know, here's that 60-foot header just chewing through there. Just, you know, that's why, you know, 1900, average American farmer fed himself, his family, and about three other people. You know, last time I checked, it was an average American farmer feeds himself, his family, and about 180 other people. And the difference is those 60-foot headers. Okay? So one of the challenges then that comes up is this word work. You know, the guy in the 60-foot header, he's sitting there, got the air conditioner on, got his favorite country music going, and he's going down the road. He and Kenny Chesney are doing her together, you know. And, you know, hey, it's But, you know, that's quite a bit different than getting your hand size out, you know, and going down the field, isn't it? Work. See, it makes you know, the machinery, the tools, tremendous, make a tremendous difference in how much you can get done. I was listening to a Rich DeVos tape one time, and he talked about how he was in Peru, and a guy there loaded about 50 pounds of wood on his back, and he headed up the trail at maybe 4 or 5 miles an hour. He said wasn't too long later, he's back in Michigan, and he watched him load about 55,000 pounds of wood on the guy's back and wheel her down the road at 55 miles an hour. And he said, which one got more done? And he asked the question, what's the difference? Different tools. And so tools really, really increase our productivity, but the tools make life easier. And the result is, you know, when actual work shows up that's going to require physical effort, then that becomes an increasing challenge in a modern society. And so who are we converting? You know, who's becoming Christians? Well, coming out of modern society. So when the word work is encountered, see, that can be, it can be a problem. Now, you don't know what you don't know. And so, if you don't know what work really is, that can be a problem when you come into Christianity. You know, what do you mean work? My first wife, Lana, she used to have a little magnetic thing that fit on the refrigerator and said something to the effect that our forefathers thought nothing of working 16 hours a day. Said, we don't think much of it either. You know? And, but, see, it kind of points out, you know, the physical side of man lives in a material universe. And in a material universe, you have to get the maximum work for minimum input. You absolutely have to. Now, the old boys, you know, I grew up with a bunch of old rancher type guys, and as before, you know, my grandfather actually got a tractor in about 1952, and he was proud of that little Alice Chalmers. And but you know, the old boys, they didn't waste a move. See, they're working, every move is thought out. You didn't waste a move. You know, you didn't run over here and get a wrench and run back. You know, you made sure that if you had to go get a wrench, you didn't just get a wrench, you got all your tools. Didn't waste any moves. Couldn't. See, because by the end of the day, those wasted moves cost you work. And you couldn't afford those wasted moves. There's a bunch of mines in the country where I grew up in the Tobacco Root Mountains in southwest Montana. It's home of Virginia City. The diggings at Alder Gulch are the richest placer discovery in the world. And that's where all your Western movies are based out of, the vigilantes and stuff. That's all Virginia City, Bannock, Montana Territory is where those are all based on. Rough. But where I used to herd cattle, they're ditches, 15-mile ditches dug to get water from the creek over to where the mine was. Now, can you imagine hand digging? I mean, we're not talking about bringing your backhoe in. You know, we're talking about guys hand digging a ditch, you know, blasting powder and everything else in certain areas, digging a ditch along a mountainside for 15 miles with shovels and picks and crowbars. Okay. You think you want to arm wrestle them, boys? You know, I went to the Pocahontas mine in Pocahontas, Virginia, fairly near Oak Mills, not too far from Bluefield, West Virginia. And I saw the cars there where the guy, they do the blasting in the coal mine, and the guy shovel 8 ton of coal into the cars in the morning and 8 ton in the afternoon and haul them out. And if there's too much rock and not enough coal, your 8 ton of cars, your 8 tons was rejected. 16 tons, what do you get, right? Anybody remember Tennessee Ernie Ford and that? You know, it's because that's what they shoveled, 16 ton a day. Standard. See, my point is that if you don't know what you don't know, I mean, if you don't know what work is, you might have a little trouble processing what the Apostle Paul is talking here. Work. Work out your salvation. Okay? It's not going to be an easy ride. Now, the natural tendency of man is to look for the easy way. And again, economics, second law of thermodynamics, all those little laws that man has to deal with, gravity, you got to work against those all the time. Second law guarantees that if you move, you lose. You move, you lose. You're going to get less out than you put in. And it's necessary. You have to use the second law of thermodynamics in your calculations. Rob, he has to use it all the time in what he's doing. And, you do transformers. Your imaginary component is your heat loss, right? So you, no matter what, you lose. So it's efficient in the material realm for man to do the easiest way possible. So the problem is when you get into the spiritual realm, the easy way is going to be the wrong way. So Scripture says work out your salvation. Then you can see why it'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it, if you just could pray this little prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm nothing but a dirty, rotten, lousy, no good sinner, but thank you that you love me, Jesus Christ, enough to die on the cross to save my worthless soul. I accept you as my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And to know that you got it made and you're never going to lose that salvation. Isn't that something? Do you think that might have an appeal? Yeah, it just might. I don't know how the Scripture talks, is it? Okay. First of all, Scripture says you got to repent. Yeah. That's got a lot to do with changing the way you think, right? It's always interesting to me. John the Mercer shows up, and what's the first word, recorded out of John's mouth? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. John gets locked up in the hoosegow, and so Jesus ticks it up, right? So what's the first words out of Jesus' mouth? Repent. See, what on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel is preached, and the guy's asked the question, what shall we do? What's the first word out of Peter's mouth? Repent! See, maybe mankind has some issues, right? And it has to do with changing the way you think. Okay, you got to start seeing things from God's perspective. See, and part of that repent is going to have to do with mental habits. Mental habits. You got a lazy background coming into Christianity, that going to change. Because it's going to say work. Work out your salvation. Now, laziness is a habit. You know what you got to do to form bad habits? Nothing. See, good habits, now I'm going to take some effort. So repent here is going to be connected with work. Work out your salvation. We get immersed into Christ. Jesus does all the heavy lifting. Okay? But it requires our participation. If you're not willing to stand up and say, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, okay, you're not getting in. In the early days of Christianity, that was the big problem. Immersion wasn't the big problem in the early days. The early days is whether you're going to be willing to stand up and say, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because as soon as you'd said that, you signed your death warrant. Because it has to be a public proclamation, doesn't it? It has to continue to be a public proclamation, doesn't it? See, now we're getting to the point where, a little more hesitant to people say, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The landscape changed a little bit. I was just catching a little bit of one of Rush Limbaugh's last radio programs, and he was talking about a poll that I think was taken by Pew Research or one of those, and one of the more reliable ones. Some of those polls, are just outright propaganda. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to believe next. Got it. But once in a while, there's some outfits that try to do actual polling. But the poll showed that about 37% of people with a, shall we say, a liberal perspective were a little hesitant to speak in public. About 76% of those that had a more conservative perspective were hesitant. Now, that's very significant when you start looking at the landscape that we have to deal with, because could you lose your job for being a Trump supporter? Okay, what's happened to the U.S. military right now? They're being purged of anybody that has basically anything resembling Christian perspective. The purging is going on. The whole Biden team, to root out the white nationalism inside the military, is in charge of a whole bunch of Muslim terrorists. Check it out. So, if you're in the military, might you be intimidated if you wanted to keep your job? See, we're entering an age here where maybe it's not going to be so easy to say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I could be starting to be some of the work out your salvation, couldn't it? Those sort of things are real. Work out your salvation. Just as you've always obeyed, keep doing it. I want to take a look at a couple things in the Old Testament, and I want to bounce back to the book of Amos for just a second here. Always good to get a little Old Testament perspective in here. And I know I'm preaching to people who are Christians here today, dedicated, hardworking. You guys wouldn't be here if you weren't the creme de la creme, the best, And so this message is not for you. It's just for a message for people who might be hearing it. And Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring now that we may drink. So, I wonder if there's any of that in the United States of America. Oprah comes to mind. I don't know why. But, the cows who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, say to your husbands, huh, yeah, bring me something. Boy, what a reversal, right? Well, I guess there's nothing new. What's the Lord got to say to these gals, The Lord has sworn by his holiness, behold, the days are coming upon you when they'll take you away with meat hooks. Oh, boy. And the last of you with fish hooks. You go through the breaches in the walls, each one straight before you'll be cast to harm, and declares the Lord. Okay? Boy, societies tend to go downhill. They really do. Mankind has never had the morality to be able to handle his technology. So, they all came downstairs the other morning, and there was a servant in the house doing some dishes. Yeah, pretty amazing. Just sitting over there, whirring away, servant. Another servant had the heat just right in the place, and keep a little bit of fire in the winter, and kind of trying to keep it cooler in the summer. Another servant actually had candles lit. Well, actually, they're we would call them electric lights, but another servant had the electric, had the lighting all going, and you start counting. There are a lot of servants in those households. A lot of servants. And, they do a lot of work, see? So it'd be easy to end up being one of these cows of Bashan, right? Now, I read a little article that Katie wrote about her mother. Katie's dad, his first wife died, and so he got married to Katie's mom. I think he was about 50 when they got married, and she was like 40-something. But she wrote a letter about her mom, a little article, what her mom did every day. I mean, it was work from before daylight until after sunset. The old saying was, a man works from sun to sun, a woman's work is never done. You read about the frontier people that came across, this country, and, our teenage girls, you don't know what you don't know. But work. From the time you're little, you're working. Hard to be a cow of Bashan, when you're having to work like that. And I thought, as long as Amos is going away here, I thought maybe I might jump over to Amos chapter 6. Amos 6:1. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure in the mountain of Samaria, the distinguished men of the foremost of nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Go over to Kelna and look, and go from there to Hamath the Great, and go down to Gath of Philistines. Are they better than those kingdoms? Is their territory greater than yours? Do you put off the day of calamity? And would you bring near the seat of violence? Yeah, it's, boy, ease. How about ease in the current Zion? It's easy to get easy, isn't it? I think, Mike Harbor used to talk about one lazy boy on the top of another. Right? And, it's easy to become easy. Work out your salvation. And I just couldn't resist this one. Isaiah chapter 3. Boy, I realize when I'm reading this that I'm going back 2,700 years. And I realize that tells me a lot about human nature. It just hasn't changed, okay? Well, Isaiah, that's a good old 3:16. Let's do one of these 3:16. I like 3:16s. Isaiah 3:16, moreover, the Lord has said, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with their heads held high and seductive eyes and go along with mincing steps, and tinkle the bangles on their feet. Therefore the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord will make their foreheads bare. In that day the Lord will take away the beauty of their anklets, headbands, crescent ornaments, dangling earrings, bracelets, veils, headdresses, ankle chains, sashes, perfume box, amulets, finger rings, nose rings, festal robes, outer tunics, cloaks, money purses, hand mirrors, undergarments, turbans, and veils. Yeah, sounds like the well-attired lady, right? Ready to go into the street, right? Just, walk into town. I don't know, it probably took her an hour and a half to get ready, it'd be my guess, but, you know, now it will come about, instead of sweet perfume, there'll be putrefaction. This is just for Israel. This is just, you know, I mean, nothing to do with our time. Just, instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, a plucked-out scalp. Instead of fine clothes, a donning of sackcloth. Branding instead of beauty. Your men will fall by the sword, your mighty ones in battle. Her gates will lament and mourn, and deserted she will sit on the ground. You know, I wonder why the Lord would record these things. You know, see, maybe there's some lessons here that we need to pick up on as to what's important. It's what's important. You know, work. You've got to learn to work. The best thing parents can do for their kids is work them half to death. And so, if you're feeling part of the oppressed, downtrodden, working class as a kid, you are really blessed. More than you know, you are really blessed. You know, Marshall mentioned the shovel in the snow. It was actually pretty nice when I got a snowblower. You know, I mean, you start shoveling 24 inches of snow, that's going to be a lot of work. But, this guy said to me one time, he says, Mr. Wilson, he said, you ought not to be the one out here, you know, moving that snow before school in the morning. I said, yeah. I said, you want to do it? He said, yeah, I'll do it. And I said, well, the next snowstorm will be out here at 6 a.m. Well, see, never took me up on the job. I don't know. But see, this issue of work here is important. You know, back to Philippians chapter 2 then. As Christians, God really wants us to work out our salvation. Okay, it's a contract. I always liked the time back there in Genesis 15 where God said to Abraham, he said, now you take a bunch of animals and you cut the animals in half, and you got a couple birds here and lay the birds on top of the animals. And so I got this picture here, you know, animals cut in half. Undoubtedly, those cows are all Angus. I always get a kick about the Angus burgers. Hey, if she's hanging on the rack, already skinned, can you tell the difference? No, you can't tell the difference. You know, but hey, it's all marketing, right? And I got the animals split in half, right? And, you know, near as I can tell, when they made a covenant, a big covenant, you know, contract, you know, and split the animals, because the word covenant means to cut. And, Jeremiah talked about how they cut the calf. That's what's going on here. So Abraham, he's got his animals all cut in half, and he's expecting he's going to get to walk through, because what they seem to do, as near as I can tell, you had a big deal going. All right, you have lawyers there, which is a good thing. And, if you didn't have one lawyer, you wouldn't need two. You know, just important stuff you need to know. And so one guy would stand on this side of the animals, and he'd explain what his rights, duties, and privileges were under the contract, and explain to the other guy what the other guy's rights, duties, and privileges were under the contract. Then this guy, you know, he'd step over here, and he'd explain to the other guy what his rights, duties, and privileges were, and what the other guy's rights, duties, and privileges. Because, see, if they both said the same thing, okay, we got a deal. Okay, we fully understood what our rights, duties, and privileges were. And so then we walk through the pieces together, right? And, nice to have a little blood-soaked contract, right? Right? Well, that's what we got with Jesus. We got a blood-soaked contract. He's already explained to you what your rights, duties, and privileges are. He's already carried out his end of the contract, right? You know, we were able to talk a little bit about it last night. Mark was able to bring it up. What did Jesus do on his end of the contract? Well, he did the big stuff. All right? So if we're going to work out our contract here of salvation, then that's quite a commitment. Now, you want to welch on your contract? Well, we think you welch on your contract with God. Yeah. God, you know, I'm just a lazy pup here, and I don't want to do my work. I don't want to, you know, I'm tired of doing the work. You know I signed up for this deal, but I'm tired of carrying it out. What do you think? God says, you got a contract, buddy. When a contract is made, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it, right? You made a contract. You said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You believe it? Okay. Well, we got a whole lot of things in here you should probably check. Sometimes I watch a little bit of the Weather Channel, and there's just a couple little things I kind of like. I like up there in Canada where these guys are getting in wrecks all the time and they're trying to figure out how to get these 18-wheelers, you know, back on the road. That's really interesting to me, you know, because I know they can't fake that one. That is reality TV, you know. Got this guy down there, 18 inches of snow, trying to figure out he's going to get this 18-wheeler for 40,000 pounds of fertilizer back on the road. Okay. And I notice there's no women on the cruise either. It's all guys down there, you know. I just, you know, and I can see why, you know. Hey, there was a time when there was women's work and men's work, right? And that was good. Now you get a 16-foot header, air conditioning cab, you know, with, you know, the special station that appeals to single ladies in their 30s. And, you know, you could run that, right? When it comes to getting those 18-wheelers out of the ditch, you know, there aren't any women on the crew. And I think all you women say, yep, good, that's man's work, right? Another one is where they have these airplane crashes. Yeah, that's interesting because they try to go back and figure out what went wrong. See, what went wrong? And it's not always what you think it might have been. You know, one of the ones I was looking at was a crash that occurred in Buffalo, just outside of Buffalo, New York. And coming in, there was some icing and stuff on the wings. And somehow they lost control of the plane. It went just straight down. Poo! You know, everybody was on board was killed. I always like to watch those just before I fly cross country. You know, it's encouraging. And faith building. So they went back and tried to figure out what was the problem. Well, they thought maybe it was because there was extra ice on the wings, and they thought maybe that was a problem. But, you know, all the people that flow said, well, you know, extra ice builds up, but there's ways to pop that ice loose. So what they finally figured out was the pilot flew in from Florida the day of the flight, and the first officer, female, flew in from Seattle. You know anything about jet lag between Seattle and the East Coast? You know how that might impact things? And neither one of them had gotten enough sleep because their wages were low and they couldn't afford to stay in hotels. And so trying to catch a little sleep in the pilot's lounge, which they weren't supposed to do, but they were doing it anyway, right? So I got this flight coming into Buffalo, a little bit of heavy weather, and the crew is tired, okay? And so when they should have pushed the lever down, they pulled the lever back. And down she went. Okay, things that go wrong. See, just little things. Crew was tired, wasn't able to pay attention. See, God wants us to continually be refreshed in the Spirit, right? Acts 2:38 says, repent, each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:19 says, repent and turn again. 60, that your sins may be blotted out, that times or seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. See, one of the things that God's made provision for is for us to be refreshed. Therefore, we can be alert in the work that we're doing for God. It's impressive. It's incredible. God is super interested in our success. So we get the idea, you know what? I'm just tired of this Christianity. I can't take it anymore. You know, I just need one more thing. Yeah, one more thing. That's all I need. Here it is. Okay, that's it. Okay, well, I mean, do people do that? Yeah, sometimes I look through the old photographs. A lot of people don't make it. A lot of people you have high hopes in, they don't make it. Something along the way gets to them, they quit working. Tired, not refreshed, not alert, not paying attention. Down they go. And if you think an airline crash is bad, you figure out how much of a dump that is to go into the lake of fire. It says, with fear and trembling. I don't know as I want to preach on that. Fear and trembling. I thought Christians aren't supposed to be afraid of God. Well, there's an element that, you know, God wants us to have confidence. Another, one of the guys there in Bozeman is a lineman named Brent DeShock. And Brent was talking about how trying to hook up, I think it was 35,000 volt line, you know, in a spot. And he said, you know, you can't see that. He said, you can't see that electricity. You can't see that in there. He said, you know it's there. I mean, 35,000 volts, just think what that can do to a guy's boots. It'd blow them right off, right? And so he said, when you're handling that 35,000 volt line, and I think that was the right number, but I'm not, it was somewhere in that. He said, you got to treat that with a lot of respect. You got to treat that with a lot of respect. Because if one thing is done wrong, somebody's going to die. Okay. And he used that as an illustration of the power of God. Okay. And so the scriptures tell us, treat him with respect. That's the kind of fear and trembling it's talk about. Treat him with respect. You think 35,000 volts, doesn't take many amps, you know, 35,000 volts to, you know, I mean, the ohm you'll be going through won't be your mantra calling on your Hindu god. Okay? You got to treat God with respect. You got to treat God with a lot of respect. And that's what the scriptures say, fear and trembling. You know, you got to remember that we are constantly in the presence of God, Christ Jesus, and his chosen angels. And so if you're slacking on your job, you're slacking on your work, you're slacking on your Christianity, guess who knows? Yeah. So they're telling you, okay, remember, you know, the foreman's watching. You know, foreman's watching. He's checking your work. Is that okay? See, it creates a consciousness here that God wants us to have. You're not, as Christians, you're not in the lazy category. You're not in the laid back, come see, come go, you know, whatever. This is on the job all the time. Okay. How about a little help here? I mean, if you're expecting this out of me, how about a little help here? Oh, well. Let's see. It's God who is at work in you. both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What do you know? When I used to work for the Anaconda Company, one of the things that always stands out in my mind is every so often we'd make a load of copper for Westinghouse. And it was the copper is what the Westinghouse used for the windings and the alternators. And we always used to put a little bit of silver in the copper because silver's got better conductivity than copper. But obviously you're not going to do the wirings with silver. But a little bit of silver. So it was my job, they gave me the total. This is how much copper is in furnace number 3. Okay, 750,000 pounds, 753,252, whatever it was. And so I knew what percentage of silver that they wanted in there. So it's my job to go down to the main office and tell them that I wanted the silver and how much, how many bars of silver. And so they'd go down there and I'd sign a little form that I'm taking some silver. And they'd open up the safe, and they'd carry the silver. Then I'd just throw the silver in my car. Oh, well, security. I look honest. And so I'd take it over to the guy, and he put it in there. Now, my job was to get silver into the copper. Now, where am I going to get the resources to get silver? The company expects me to do the job, right? So the company got to supply me with what I need to do the job. God says, okay, we got a job here. Work out your salvation, fear and trembling, right? So God's going to have to supply what we need to get the job done, right? And he will. I mean, he keeps talking about the amount of resources he has. It's called something like riches of his glory. You think there's enough there? So it's God who is at work in you. God working in the Christian? Yep. That scripture talks about the word of God performance is work in you who believe. We gotta throw 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 in here for just a second. We'll be right back. But 2 Timothy 1:7. Interesting verse. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of being a bunch of fraidy cats. Timid. Nope, not us. Bold as lions, right? Shrewd as serpents. Innocent as doves. Bold as lions. That's us. Right? We didn't get a spirit of being timid. Well, what kind of spirit do we get? We got a spirit of power and love and discipline. Power, love, and discipline is the spirit who dwells in us. Any job too big to tackle? Any challenge too great? Any road too long? Any mountain too high? Any desert too dry? Any jungle too thick? Now we can cross them. Well, you got the spirit of power and love. Oh, and discipline. Discipline. Discipline necessary in work? You got to be motivated by love. You got to have the power to do it, but you got to have the discipline. Discipline to carry through. Scripture says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Guess who gets to supply part of the discipline? Okay. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, right? You don't discipline yourself. We can help you out, right? Scourges. Every son he receives, that's scourging. Apparently good for us, isn't it? That's why we're not complaining. Of course, I don't want to get into that and be tromping on somebody else's message. So we're just excited people all the time, upbeat, Hey, God's in charge. Everything's okay. God's at work in us. I do appreciate Katie. Several years ago, we did an award ceremony in Butte and finished up for the Christian school. And Katie had never been over Pipestone Pass. Now, Pipestone Pass is one of the two passes in the area that goes over the top of the Continental Divide. Divides the Louisiana Purchase from the country that nobody claimed as yet in the days of Lewis and Clark. And so Pipestone Pass is the old two-lane highway. And Tom, you've been over the Pipestone, have you? Yeah. It's fun because Pipestone's got a couple 15-mile-an-hour turns, which was really fun back in the days when that was the only road and the big trucks were running on that one. Okay, that used to be U.S. Highway 12. And so I took her over that. A little thunderstorm came through. We're on our way then. We get back on the interstate, and I hit a spot where there's water all over the road. Too late. Hydroplane, okay. Little car we're in was going backwards down the median, you know. And I figured out that probably wasn't a good plan. So I whipped her up and got her up going into the oncoming traffic. See, and I figured, well, that probably wasn't any better. So whipped her back down to the median, got her back up into the road on the right traffic, you know. And she's thumping. I mean, she's boom, 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 boom. And I thought, yeah, okay. So I stopped in at, you know, about a couple miles down the road, the little town pump gas station, pulled in, checked it, didn't see anything. Now, the nice thing about Montana, interstate exits, I've had guys from Indiana laugh at this. You know, Fagans. I've had Fagans laugh at this. But Montana exits off the interstate have cattle guards. Yeah, you guys laugh, right? Yeah. They laugh. You got cattle guards? Hey, man, it's cattle country, free range, right? Well, the nice thing about that cattle guard is any of that mud was in there just popped off. Okay. Car runs great, okay? And well, I did pay $9 to get it checked out later. But afterwards, I asked Katie, I said, did you see this? I mean, I saw it. It was slow motion for me. I said, did you see it? She said, no, I had my eyes closed. And I said, what do you know? I mean, what do you think about? She says, well, one thing is, I know I'm ready to die. Okay? She was calm, you know. Still trusted her husband. I mean, you know. Well, January 8, 2021, you know, we're on our way to Great Falls and going through the Missouri River Canyon. It was kind of a weird weather day. The road was dry. There were spots, you know, where there's fog hanging on the hills or something. And so I went around this bad corner at the Gary Cooper Bridge. You guys know who Gary Cooper is? Yeah, the Gary Cooper Bridge. Gary Cooper was a native of Montana, and so he had a big ranch there. And so it's the Gary Cooper Bridge going across the Missouri River right there, okay? And went around the corner right after the bridge. Boom, there it is, flash ice. Too late. You know, I mean, last thing both Katie and I remember hitting is the guardrail. Okay? Side note, went back later and looked. There never was a guardrail there. Okay. What happened? See, we hit that ice. Now we're going sideways, and we hit the dry pavement. Boom, starts rolling. See, it hit hard. There was a cadet for the Montana Highway Patrol behind us. And she was, this area where there's no cell coverage, so she was able to radio help stuff. But they said that we rolled 10 to 15 times in that car, okay? And we kind of woke up. You should see the car afterwards. I think the state of Montana was thinking about using it for their seat belts save lives demonstration. It was pretty tore up. There was a hammer in the trunk that's bent. Okay, we saved that just for souvenir. Well, you got to track your travels, you know. And so I'm there, and I'm looking down at the floor. I'm hanging by my seatbelt. I mean, and that's painful, man. But, you know, I can't reach it. I can't, you know, I'm hanging by my seatbelt. And Katie, her feet are pinned against the headrest in the ceiling. Not badly pinned, just enough she can't move them. And, but then I realized, you know what? I'm looking down at the ceiling. Her chair flipped upside down with her in it. You know, when we both came to, you know, I mean, the people that were on the scene, they were on the scene pretty fast. The next person behind the highway patrol lady was a nurse that worked in the hospital in Great Falls, and he was checking our eyeballs out. They were trying to make sure we weren't panicking. You know, they were talking, you know, making sure we weren't panicking. But you know what? The first thing we did when we had enough sense to do anything, we prayed. You know what Katie's response is? I know I'm not afraid to die. That's what we need, isn't it, going forward? Knowing I'm not afraid to die. Because that may be the choice we get to take. Die, deny, or die. Deny that Jesus is the Christ, or die. Read a little article on hate speech the other day. It's interesting. It was written by the Roman historian Tacitus, talking about the fact that Nero blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians. And he just pointed out that the Christians were haters and they engaged in hate speech. Yeah, check it out. Does history repeat itself? Yeah, it does. So God is at work in you. See, the point is, we have the spirit of power and love and discipline. You see the guys that deny the indwelling Holy Spirit, they deny the power of the Holy Spirit. You see where that leaves them? Powerless. Trying to operate on human power. You think you're going into a spiritual battle, you're going to fight, win a spiritual battle on human power? The record is anybody's crawled in the ring with Satan in the last 6,000 plus years, lost by human power. This spirit of power and love and discipline, back to Philippians 2. See, God's at work in you. God is at work in you. You think God knows how to work? Yeah. Let's see. Let's have a little 6-day creation event. What do you think? Oh, let's start off, let there be light. Okay, good. How about, think we can have the waters gathered together in one place and have the dry land? Yeah, good. How about some plants, right? Whoop! Boom! Okay. Got plants. All right? You know, Earth is going to be a home for man. We need a home for Earth. Oh, let's do a universe. Boom, right? You think God knows how to work? God's at work in you. Okay, what? So what? Where's the bad attitude coming from? Think God's at work in us? Yeah. To do what? Well, he says to will and to work. See, one of the things God doing is he's strengthening our ability to keep working. Somebody mentioned it, Paul and Silas in jail there in Philippi. Midnight. You know, these guys have been beaten. You know, those were Roman courts now, man. These are Roman judges, the magistrates, you know, ordering the lay and the stripes on these guys. They're not stopping at 39. I got to see some of the castles in Scotland. You know, and sometimes 1,200 stripes were issued to, you know, the guys that got 1,200 stripes, they died. You know, 600, yeah. You know, well, you read American history, find out what George Washington tried to do with the deserters. Find out how many stripes they got, all right? Yeah, you got to know the real history, guys. And so 39, pretty trivial. So these guys have been whipped, all right? And then they're putting stocks. Right? You ever seen stocks? Yeah. You want to be cramped up in those for about 48 hours? No, thank you. I mean, you get restless leg syndrome in a quick hurry, I think, all right? And so you're in those stocks, right? Paul and Silas in stocks. Okay, what are they doing? Well, they're singing hymns and praying to God. And the Bible says, and the prisoners were listening. And I often thought, I bet they were. That isn't usually what you hear coming from the dungeon, is hymns and praise, right? How can they do that? Well, they've been strengthened to do the work of God. Now they do it. Pretty well, do you think you and I can do the same thing? Why not? That's why it's really good to sing, learn to sing a cappella. You know, you never know. I don't think they had the harmonica with them in prison. You know, just. But God's enabling us to do the work. You know, the other thing he's doing, strengthen our will. It's just a matter of fact that he who has the strongest will wins. You know, we mentioned Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate. You know, Pilate says, you know, I got authority to release you. I got authority to crucify you. Who has the strongest will? Jesus says, you don't have any authority over me at all, boy. Right? Who's got the strongest will? You know, in personal Bible studies, everything else you do as a Christian, it's a matter of will. It's a matter of will. Another name for covenant is what? Testament. What's another name? Will. This is God's will, isn't it? You got a pretty strong will. What's he doing? Strengthen our will power. That's what it takes. Will power. There's a situation you go into Bible studies, you got to control you got to engage in crowd control. Oh, really? It should be a democratic society. Oh, really? Well, you know, Black Lives Matter, love that, right? MoveOn.org, you know. That's supposed a democratic society. No, will. God strengthened our will to do what we need to do. Need willpower for memorizing Scripture? One of the young guys was talking here in Bozeman a couple weeks doing the opening, and he was talking about the ability to memorize Scripture. He said, I know you can do it. He said, you all know the password for your phone. How do you get that? Well, you memorize. Okay. All right. Excuse gone. Will. See, this is encouraging. See, God really wants us. So regardless of our background coming in Christianity, with bad habits and lazy habits and incomplete habits and, you know, not quite finishing up, you know. I mean, you know, the house gets painted except for the trim didn't quite get done. How long might it take for the trim to get done? Yeah, you guys laugh. 10 years, right? Right? Well, what makes the difference? It's willpower, isn't it? Will, training, get it done. Finish, right? Follow through, right? Yeah, golf. Jeff used the golf. Right? Follow through, right? Yeah. Everything in life is follow through. The basketball shot, what? Follow through. You know, the baseball swing. Follow through. You know, right-handed golf, you know, left-handed, you know. You know. But what's the point? Follow through, isn't it? How about life? Follow through. It's follow through. No matter what, follow through. What does it take to follow through? Will power. Will to finish. How many guys quit in the night? In the morning, they found how close they were, as this poem put it, to the victor's crown. What if Donner's party had just had a little bit more willpower trying to cross the Sierra Nevada? Yeah. Indians say, come on, come on, come on. Big snow. Heap big snow come. Heap big snow. Oop. You know, in the Sierra Nevada, that means 10, 12 feet. Heap big snow come. Come, come, come. Didn't have the willpower. They're tired. They quit before they got to the top. And some of you know some of the story of the Donner Party. Engaged in a little cannibalism is how they ended up. Didn't have the will. God wants us to get over the top. He doesn't want us to falter before the finish. He wants us to finish the victory going through the tape, right? Snapping the tape, going through. What is it going to take? Willpower. And guess who's helping us to develop the will? God. We're not alone. God not only gave us the brethren, but he gave us his spirit. We know love by this, that God gave us his spirit. Right? We know. Katie wasn't kidding. She says, you know. I'm not afraid to die. I know when they looked inside that wreck, they had to use jaws of life to get on both sides to get us out of there. I know that they thought that if there's anybody alive, going to be a lot of screaming, a lot of panic. But you know what there was instead? Prayer. Prayer and partnership. That's what was in there. Who's that? It's God. It's God. So, are we ready? See, that's the question, you know. Are we ready? Ready to work. Ready to look around and see how you can be creative. How can, you know, I want to caution you here. Just because you got a great idea, check with the church leadership before you implement it. Because it could be a great idea, but you're shooting the cannon in the wrong direction. You know, always good to get the cannons lined up. So, you know, check with church leadership, but figure out how to use initiative and how. See, work. See, get in and do some work. When work needs to be done, you know, when helping neighbors, you know, trying to set up Bible studies, it takes work, 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 work. But do it. And know you can do it because God's strengthening you to will and to work. Oh, yeah. For his good pleasure. God bless.